This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. All investing involves risk.
Hello, I'm Nick Jardine and I'm the content manager for private markets at L&G. We're looking inward on today's podcast, talking about investing in the UK. We'll tackle why we believe the UK offers some attractive investment stories, while also drilling down into a couple of specific sectors where we're seeing possible opportunity. I was delighted to be joined by Mike Adefuye, research manager. Mike's going to delve into the real estate sector in the UK and identify some of the themes we're seeing here. Before he does so, I'd also like to introduce Neil Meikle. Neil sits on our distribution team and is head of real estate capital raising. He's going to talk about what he's hearing from clients when it comes to looking for investment opportunities in the UK. Thank you both for being here. So, Mike, let's start with you. Anyone who reads our blog will have seen your extensive writing on real estate and particularly UK real estate. Perhaps you could give us a quick overview of some of the macro themes you're seeing impacting the domestic sector.
Thanks, Nick. I guess to start off with, let's think about the environment we find ourselves in from a sort of macroeconomic perspective, because that will give us a sense of some of those themes that we think are influencing that and will influence things going forward. So, you know, we find ourselves in a high inflation environment where it's been a little bit more persistent than we would have expected, you know, above the 2% that the Bank of England sort of targets, and remaining stubbornly above that 2% for a bit longer. And then we also find ourselves in a higher interest rate environment. Things are coming down a little bit now, but it's still likely to be higher for longer. And that will obviously affect the way we think about other asset classes. And then economic growth is a little bit more muted than we've sort of expected over the last, you know, we've become used to over the last sort of 2 to 3 decades. And it's likely to remain a relatively muted level as well. And we think that those environments are likely to stay in place for a little bit longer. And that will likely result in more kind of truncated view of how valuations sort of work. And what we think about is the sort of the framework we think about it in our team is the 4 Ds, which, you know, some of the work that we've done, which you can read on the blog and different reports, is those 4 Ds, which are the macro themes that we feel are influencing asset valuations and asset performance over the long term. Those are deglobalization, digitalization, demographics, and decarbonization. You know, when we talk about decarbonization, that's really around the UK's drive for net zero by 2050. We talk about digitalization. AI is really like the talk of the town, but that also involves things like robotics, more sort of bog standard automation, which, you know, quite amazing, but people have seemingly forgotten about that aspect in the sort of AI rush. And then we also look at demographics. When we think about what the UK population looks like in terms of an age spectrum, we know we're an aging society. If you take out immigration from the UK, our population will be falling. And that changes the dynamic of how we think about our labour markets and will ultimately influence economic growth going forward. And then finally, deglobalization, when we think about just that idea of frictionless trade, which we've had for, you know, for the best part of 4 or 5 decades now, but that's now changing quite dramatically. I guess it's quite apt that we're talking about this now in a period where the US is just about to launch another flurry of tariffs, which kind of gives you a sense that you know, we are no longer in the world that we're used to, certainly pre-pandemic.
Great. Thanks for that answer. And obviously those are broad themes, and real estate is a broad area. With an eye on the UK, are there any areas in particular that you'd highlight as looking potentially attractive from an investment opportunity standpoint?
So, yeah. So when we think about the UK in general, you know, there's lots of opportunities and value in the UK real estate sector at the moment. You know, we've obviously come from a bit of a correction during the start of the rising interest rates back in sort of late 2022 onwards. So we're in a period where, from a relative value perspective, which is considering the UK real estate assets compared to other assets such as equities, for instance, it does look like fair value. And that's across a broad range of sectors. You know, even something that we've not spoken about in decades, in the retail sector, there is some value in certain segments of the retail sector. But for us, I think the two big picks for us is the sort of bed and sheds sectors. So industrial sector, the sheds, and most living sectors in terms of the beds. And what we, you know, how we look at it internally is to, again, frame it in that 4Ds framework. We have a pretty Venn diagram online, which shows the different sectors and which sectors tick which boxes of those four D's. The more areas you tick in those of those four D's, the more likely we believe you'll see quite strong performance going forward. And beds and sheds really tick a lot of those boxes. If we think about, you know, on the sort of residential side of things, thinking about demographics, if you move from a period where your population growth is really about sort of fertility rates, you know, that changes, it's a different dynamic in terms of the housing demand than one which is more immigration based, where you're getting more working age people moving into a country. If you look at it from a sort of family formation perspective, that doesn't change the needle in the short to medium term, because, you know, if someone has a baby, they're probably living in a house or a flat already. But if someone's coming in from a different country, that person needs a new home or a new place to stay. So that changes how quickly you need to start increasing the supply of housing. And from an industrial perspective, you know, when we think about deglobalization, that means more domestic manufacturing to a degree, more changes in sort of supply chains. And that will obviously drive some of the demand that we expect to see for the industrial sectors going forward.
Neil, obviously you come at this from a slightly broader angle, and in your role, you're hearing directly from clients. What are they saying about the prospect of investing in the UK?
Thanks, Nick. It's quite a timely conversation. That I was in Singapore last week at one of the largest Asian real estate conferences, which is held annually. And that involves attendees from Singapore, Malaysia, Australia, Japan, Korea. And what's very much still comes to the fore from a UK perspective is that these global investors are very, very comfortable with investing in the UK. But counter to that, they also look at investing in the UK relative to both their domestic markets and Europe, the US, and broader APAC exposure. So I think that there's a mixed set of views around what's going on from a global economic perspective, but there's still a lot of interest in investing in specific areas of the UK. And what's been really quite helpful recently is from a UK government perspective, they're very much pushing the message that the UK is open for business, and they're very much driving a growth agenda. I mean, a real example of that is I have come across far more teams and individuals from the UK Economic Development Department at these conferences than I ever have before, and I've been going to these conferences for quite a long time. So there's obvious effort going in from the UK government to attract capital into the UK as an investment destination. The other part, and this is the part that is always present with the UK, is the familiarity of global investors with the UK. A lot of them were either educated here or have children who've been educated here, and that drives a certain level of familiarity with global investors when they're looking at investing in the UK. Where we are in the cycle at the moment is also quite helpful, because what we've seen in the UK is, because of the transparency in valuations, because of the nature of lease structures and the amount of capital that does target the UK, we've seen a correction in valuations that's perhaps been more transparent and ahead of other global markets. And that in itself drives client interest. So what we're seeing at the moment in the UK perspective is a lot of clients really starting to dig deep into the fundamentals again, really having a closer look at what's going on in the UK. And I wouldn't say there's a lot of capital flooding into the UK at the moment, but there's definitely some really, and it's not even green shoots, it's a step further than that. There's a lot of investors doing a lot of work around the UK at the moment and where those opportunities lie.
Thanks for that. So Mike's obviously talked about the real estate sector, but I was wondering if you could just give an overview of some of the other sectors and investment opportunities that are proving attractive to clients.
Yeah, I think everyone can probably guess the answer I'm going to give here, and that all us real estate folks are very much leaning into data centers as an asset class. And we speak to a lot of clients about digital infrastructure and data centers in terms of their investment appetite and the types of things they're trying to do. What I would say the demand and the interest in the sector is almost unprecedented, and it's also extremely broad across client types. There's a couple of reasons for that, and we've kind of seen this thing before. A lot of it, residential investment was driven by familiarity with the asset class. Clients and individuals and their daily working lives are seeing the impact. They're seeing the news around artificial intelligence. They're using cloud computing. So therefore, they're very familiar with the demand dynamics behind that asset class. So I think in the UK in particular, which is probably behind the US in its development of digital infrastructure and data centers as a whole, there's a market opportunity there. There's a lot of capital chasing certain assets within certain areas of that market, but I think it's a really attractive part of what's going on in the UK growth story. You see it at governmental level where they're bringing out incentive packages and commentary around the growth that they expect to see there. So I think it's very much a hot topic, and it's something that we're seeing clear interest from clients upon.
Excellent. So I've got one final question. It's for both of you. And the UK, like any market, has its idiosyncrasies. Maybe, yeah, both of you can just note one thing that investors maybe need to be aware of when they're investing here.
I guess with my living sectors hat on, I'll really talk about that residential space. You know, when people, and even within UK government as well, for a long time, we talk about residential as just, you know, we need to build houses, we need to increase supply. But what's changing, and I think what more and more people are becoming more cognizant of, is the fact that, you know, there's a wide range of typographies in residential space. You know, from your built-to-rent residential space, which, you know, feels more like multifamily in the US, lots of people are familiar with, but going through to the regulated sector and the affordable housing space, for instance, where, you know, that's not necessarily like for like with what other countries have in the same way, particularly in how you access that sector itself. So things like that, people need to start kind of just coming to grips with what exactly they mean by residential. I mean, from a reset perspective, a housing bond perspective, it was quite nice to see when the government started to talk about different 10 years of housing, as opposed to just waving we're going to build 350,000 homes, we're going to build 380,000 homes, but making it quite tenure blind, that some of it will have to be rented, some of it will have to be social, some of it will have to be student accommodation. I think that is quite a good development in the way we start thinking about the residential space.
I'm going to cheat slightly, and I'm going to give you two separate answers. I think when clients are investing in residential, there's three things they need to worry about, and that's regulation, regulation, and regulation. Real estate's a very local business, and I think what you see happening in the UK around changing regulation on residential space and what that needs to look like just re-emphasises the fact that you need to know what you're doing. You need to be working with managers and individuals that are experienced in the market. The second piece around the idiosyncrasies in the UK is around when you're investing in sheds, and no two sheds are the same. I think there's a vast range of types of investment across that logistics space, be it small multi-let industrial estates all the way up to your big Amazon sheds, which are very different investment dynamic and a different type of liquidity and risk profile. So I think it's the nuances of investing in the UK. It's a very local market. You need to understand the supply and demand dynamics that are going on within those local markets, and also the nature of the assets you're investing in as well.
Great. Well, Mike, Neil, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. The views expressed in this podcast are those of Legal & General Investment Management Limited, as at the date of publication. This podcast is for information purposes only, and we are not soliciting any action based on it. The information discusses general economic, market or political issues and/or industry or sector trends. It does not constitute research or investment, legal or tax advice. It is not an offer or recommendation or advertisement to buy or sell securities or pursue a particular investment strategy. Assumptions, opinions, and estimates are provided for illustrative purposes only. There is no guarantee that any forecast made will come to pass. No party shall have any right of action against Legal & General in relation to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Where this document contains third-party information, the accuracy and completeness of such information cannot be guaranteed, and we accept no responsibility or liability in respect of such information, not for distribution to any person resident in any jurisdiction where such distribution would be contrary to local law or regulation. Copyright 2024. Legal & General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. In Hong Kong, this material is issued by Legal & General Investment Management Asia Limited, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on X, formerly known as Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website.